Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're reading from my book, The Blood and the Glory, and we just read some chapters about escape from a devastating earthquake that one congregation experienced across the board because they had been hearing about pleading the blood. Now, I want to touch on a few honest questions which may arise concerning these things. Question: why did some Christians suffer loss in the California Northridge earthquake while others were protected? My answer: I certainly don't have all the answers to this question, which could apply to the much broader spectrum of life. Yet there are two biblical requirements for cooperating with God to receive the blessing and protection He wants to give every believer, even every man, that would help us better understand. Number one, we must be doers of His word. James 1:22 says you don't be a hearer only, deceiving your own self, but be a doer. You have to do the word. Number two, we must be followers of the Holy Spirit. In being a doer of the word and not a hearer only, for instance, one would not just know Revelation 12:11 that says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but one would in faith apply the blood of Jesus to the situation. It was not enough in Egypt just to agree God had a good plan. They had to do God's plan. They had to apply the blood to the doorposts. God's word is His revealed plan. It is not enough to mentally assent to that plan. We must do it. There are many things the written word of God does not reveal. It does not tell you whom you should marry, how to invest your money, whether or not there will be a storm or an earthquake tomorrow morning, etc. Here we must follow the Holy Spirit's leadings in our everyday lives. And here again, we must hear and do. We must hear and obey. The Holy Spirit leads the children of God, Romans 8:14. He is our indwelling guide, John 16:13-15. He directs our paths, Proverbs 3:5-6. He is not slack in His job, but men have to listen to Him. Men have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within their spirits. Our own actions can cause us to be keen of hearing or dull of hearing. Sometimes people, even preachers, are too busy to hear the Lord. Often people allow the sounds of this world to drown out the still small voice of the Lord. Men also have to yield to the Holy Spirit, even when they do hear Him. We must yield to what we hear. One preacher said after a terrible accident, which took his wife's life, "Something told me to wait 30 minutes longer before we started on our trip, but I just shrugged it off." Now, I wrote my book before the tragedy of 9/11/2001, before the Twin Towers were hit. In that terrible terrorist attack, there should have been, could have been, thousands more killed than were. 3,000 were killed, and that was a terrible loss. But I understood it could have been 40,000. I just came back from California, where I was with some friends who are, they're chaplains in a prison. Wonderful people. And Brother Bill and his wife were in New York City that day. And they were scheduled to have breakfast that morning in the top of one of those towers. And Brother Bill is an early riser. He rises with the dawn and he's ready to go. And his wife, she's a later riser. She's a night owl. And she told me I was up and I was ready to go to breakfast. And Bill was asleep. And he slept and he slept and he slept. And she said, "I never seen him do that." And I thought, oh my, if he's sleeping so, maybe his body just needed it. And I'm not going to bother him. We can go down to breakfast tomorrow. Had they been there, that would have hit. And they would both have been killed. Another instance at the Pentagon, you know, one of the planes hit the Pentagon. And I had a friend there who was, he had a business of logistics. He worked for the Pentagon, but his business was, civilian. And he had a business, an important business meeting at the Pentagon. And he was headed out the door. He was late and he was headed out the door, but he heard the telephone ring. And he said, I knew that some of my business, his business, his clients were England, France, the whole United States. And he said, my phone number, only those kinds of people had. And I thought, well, if one of them's calling me, I'd better go. So he ran back into his office. He answered the telephone and there was no one there. So he put the phone down and he did something that lets you recall the last number. No one there. So he ran out, ran to the elevator, ran down to catch the trolley or little bus that would take him right on up to the Pentagon, and he missed it. He hollered at them, wait, and they didn't wait. He would have been exactly in the room where the Pentagon, where it was hit. We heard story after story about people who barely, they were late. They didn't pick up their children. This happened, that happened. And Brother Kenneth Copeland said that the Lord told him, I warned everyone. I told everyone it was coming. And he said, some listened or yielded, just like Brother Bill, his spirit yielded somehow. He's a man of God. And it just slept and slept and slept, let his body sleep and sleep and sleep. My one friend turned around, answered the phone. This is unconscious yielding, unconscious leading of the Holy Ghost, and unconscious yielding to the Holy Spirit. But it was a matter of life that they did it. So Brother Copeland, the Lord told him, I spoke to everyone. Some heard me and yielded. Many lives were saved. Some heard me and did not yield. They went on anyway. Having this kind of like you'll get like a red light that just causes you to want to stop. But some, he said, never heard me. They weren't used to hearing me and they didn't recognize my voice at all. And then, but he was faithful to speak to all of them. And then praise God, we do know that some of them even had time to accept the Lord if they hadn't known the Lord or just case after case. But we do know that God was in on it. The Holy Spirit leads us. He's our indwelling guide of the believer. He directs our path, but we have to listen to him. Men have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within their own spirits. Men have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Most of us have shrugged off true leadings of God, but we need to make it our aim to be praying more in the Holy Spirit, conscious of the application of the blood and the taking authority. You need that book, The Authority of the Believer by Macmillan, in your own life. Here's another honest question that I put in my book that people could indeed ask. How can you tell, how can you tell if it's God warning you or the devil trying to scare you? If I can't tell immediately which it is, and usually I can, I test the spirits. I say, according to the word of God, I bind the devil's influence to deceive me with the blood of Jesus. I will not let Satan's forces operate. If that is you, Lord, speaking to me, please say on. If it goes away, it was the devil. The Lord wants us to test the spirits. If it is the Lord, he's faithful to speak again. For example, I've traveled, now I have, at the time of the book, hundreds of thousands of miles. Now I have a 2 million mile thing with American. Every time I get on an airplane, I touch the side as I enter the door and say to the plane, in the name of Jesus, pass over to, and I name the destination, under the blood of the Lamb without incident. This is based on faith in the scripture where Jesus said to the disciples, entering the boat, let us go over unto the other side. Mark 4:35. At that point, I check my spirit. If something was wrong, and there were some factor which could prevent my taking authority over the flight, the Holy Spirit would warn me, and I would be required to take heed. In all these years, he's never done so. Therefore, I have always boarded in peace. A couple of times, the devil has tried to speak up and scare me, but when I put the leading to the test mentioned above, it went away, and the flight went well. Since I learned to do this, I cannot remember a frightening flight. And I don't, and I've traveled for years and years and years. Another test that you give to the Spirit that might be speaking to you, the Bible says, ask them if they confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And of course, if it's the devil trying to scare you, he won't be able to say that Jesus came in the flesh. If it is the Lord warning you, he will say, yes, he did come in the flesh. I'm he, or something like that. What about the name of Jesus? That question comes up. You talk about pleading the blood. What about the name? There's no competition between the holy wonders of God's kingdom. There's no competition in the Godhead. There's no competition between the weapons of our warfare. There's no competition between the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "In my name shall they cast out devils." The Bible also says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." In this book, I'm emphasizing the blood of Jesus because the Lord alerted me that the devil had almost stolen its primary place from us. A good way to say it is, in the name of Jesus, I plead or apply the blood of Jesus. The word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the resources of heaven are made available to us in our earth walk. We need to possess all the secrets revealed in the Word pertaining to the power availed us. Then too, in remembering the place of the blood, the Word of God is a blood covenant. Every provision and promise, therefore, which is in this book, is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. David Ingalls wrote a marvelous song. And some have said that it's the most scripturally revealing song on the blood they've ever heard. And in his song, he writes, "Everything we have in God is," and this is the song's title, "On the Basis of the Blood." On the basis of the blood. Everything we have. We'd like you to have a copy of this book, and you can get it probably at a Christian bookstore. Or you can get it from us. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 or go online to billybrim.org and ask for the blood and the glory. It's every bit as relevant today as it was when I first wrote the book. And so, this is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom, find a good church.